This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at www.botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. You can find me on Instagram at botfpodcast. And if this episode or the previous one, which is also very exciting, you need to go check out part one. If any of that makes you want to reach out, get new resources, or just share your story, I would love it. You can email me, Jenna@botfpodcast.com. So like I said, we're on part two. We are here with Yulia Shubina, and we are talking about Operation Christmas Child through Samaritan's Purse. Episode one talked about her personal story in receiving the shoebox and how that changed the trajectory of her life in such amazing ways. And God proved himself so faithful. Now we're going to talk about the other side of it, what's happened since then, and how she is now involved in passing that on to other children now. So why don't you give us a little bit of a recap how receiving the Christmas box changed how you grew up and led you to working with Samaritan's Purse?
Hi, Jenna, and thank you for having me on your podcast. I received a shoebox gift when I was 9 years old, living in a country in Central Asia that is close to the gospel, and God really used that simple shoebox gift as one of the seeds in my heart for me to years later come into a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And after I came to the United States as a foreign exchange student, I had the opportunity to reconnect with Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child. And since then, I have come full circle because I am full-time with Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child. So I literally have come a full circle with the ministry, from receiving a shoebox gift to accepting the Lord into my heart to packing shoeboxes, and now also serving full-time with this ministry.
So what about receiving the box meant so much to you that you would end up working for them later?
I remember when I received my shoebox gift, one of the first questions that came to mind is, who is this from? And why was this stranger from halfway across the world sending me a gift? It was something that you didn't do in my country. My country was recovering from the fall of the Soviet Union, and it was struggling economically. And it was uncommon to receive gifts for special occasions. And here I was receiving a gift just because from somebody who I have never met or known. And to me, that was something that I could not comprehend or understand. And years later, again, after I came to the United States as a foreign exchange student, I remember one of my friends learned that I received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift, and she invited me to come to process shoeboxes to get them ready for overseas shipment to the children at one of Operation Christmas Child processing centers. And at that time, I was living in Colorado, and the processing center was in Denver. And honestly, when my friend invited me, I did not think twice about it. I had no idea what a processing center was, what it meant to process shoeboxes. So I said, sure, let's go. And for those of you who have never been to a processing center, imagine Costco or Sam's Club, but instead of all the items you normally find there, imagine shoeboxes that fill the warehouse space from floor to ceiling. And I remember when I first stepped inside of that Denver processing center, a thought crossed my mind. I thought my sister and I were the only two people who received shoeboxes. I had no idea the scope and the reach that Operation Christmas Child has had. And at that time, of course, at the time of receiving my shoebox gift, I was 9 years old, so I didn't think through logistics or details. I thought that somebody packed a shoebox gift, and I received it. And here, for the very first time, I was able to see the scope of the ministry and realize that there is so much more to a journey of the shoebox gift than somebody packing it and somebody else receiving it. They were volunteers who were checking shoeboxes for items that are inappropriate, which could harm a child or harm the contents of the shoebox gift or perhaps cause trouble at customs. And so there were those people. Then there were those volunteers volunteers who were cartonizing shoeboxes in these big brown boxes. Then there were those who were palletizing them, and there were those who were loading trucks. And again, this was the first time I realized that there is so many steps in the journey of the shoebox gift. But before, I knew that all of these people on the processing floor were volunteers. I remember looking at my friend who invited me and asking her, how much do these people get paid? Because in the part of the world I come from, you just don't do things like that. And she looked at me like I came from a different planet, and she said, all of these are volunteers, just like you and I. And as the evening went on, as I continued to process shoeboxes with my friend who brought me, I began to hear people's stories and why they were at the processing center. And I was amazed to find out that so many people would drive from hours away. Some of them would come even from different states. Some would use their vacation time to come to a processing center, process shoeboxes, and pray for children whom they most likely will never meet. And that has had such a tremendous impact on me. And I thought, I need to get involved. I want to know how I can serve and how I can be one of these people who will bless children on the other side of the shoebox gift. So that's how I first reconnected with Operation Christmas Child. And then from there, I was actually able, following college graduation, was able to do an internship at the headquarters in North Carolina. And following the internship, came on full time in the role that I am still serving in today. And in my role, I have the privilege of working with former shoebox recipients from all over the world who found themselves in the United States, whether it's through school, adoption, asylum. And all of us together want to tell people who pack shoebox gifts that they are the ones who make our stories possible, because somebody had to pack a shoebox gift. Somebody had to pray for the child. Somebody had to process it. And so all these different roles in the journey of the shoebox gift make our testimonies possible. And that's why I want to be involved, so that I can play a role in changing someone's life across the world, just like somebody else did the same thing for me.
It sounds almost like a magical underground society. You don't see all the work that goes behind it or all the different people involved. I didn't realize how many different jobs there were in getting a box to a child. That's just amazing. So how many hands does a box go through before it finally gets to the final destination?
Well, it starts with an individual or a family who packs a shoebox gift. Then that shoebox gets dropped off at a drop-off location, so somebody there receives it. Then from a drop-off location, it goes to a central drop-off location, so somebody else receives it there. Then from there, it goes to one of our 8 processing centers across the United States, and that's where volunteers process it, place tape around it so that no contents get lost or get spilled. And then next volunteer places it in the carton, and then there is a person who also loads the carton. So however many people I just listed, that's how many people it takes to get one shoebox gift from the point where it was packed into the shipping container. But that's not it. We've got volunteers on the other side of the shoebox gift who receive them once shoeboxes clear customs. And then our national leadership teams, who are local believers on the ground, they work with our ministry partners who identify children in their villages and their towns to receive those shoebox gifts. And so they host these outreach events where the gospel is presented in a child-friendly and a culturally sensitive way. And then they receive shoebox gifts. So there is definitely many, many steps in the journey of the shoebox gift, as well as many hands that touch every single one of those shoebox gifts. And it's incredible. It blows my mind.
So you were talking about how your job is specifically you network with other people who have received boxes. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. Shoebox recipients from different parts of the world who today reside in the United States and want to be involved, want to give back by sharing the testimonies that God has written upon their lives through a shoebox gift.
So being in that group of people versus someone who maybe is originally from the States and has not had that experience, does that give you a different perspective as you work in this ministry?
You know, I wish I could tell you that I always keep that at the forefront of my mind. Sometimes I forget because I'm a human. But when I stop to think about it, the phrase "more than a shoebox" always reminds me of how God used that plastic purple container to plant one of the seeds in my heart so that I can know His Son, Jesus Christ. So yes, it does give me a different perspective because I experienced the impact firsthand, and so did my friends who are also sharing their testimonies. So for us, it's definitely more than a shoebox gift. Every year when I pack shoebox gifts, it's emotional. No matter how many shoeboxes I've packed, no matter how many years I've done it, it's always emotional because it brings me back to what God has done in my life through that simple gift.
Do you put your contact information in the boxes that you send?
I do, and I actually want to tell our listeners that it's not mandatory to include a letter, a picture, and especially a return address, but if this is something you feel led to, you're welcome to do that. I remember when I received my shoebox gift, I kept wondering, who's this from? Who's this from? And this is the same question that most shoebox recipients ask, like, who? Who in the world decided to bless us with a shoebox gift? And so it always, a note and a picture always adds a personal touch to your shoebox gifts.
Have you heard back from any of the kids that have received your boxes?
I wish I could tell you I have. I haven't. And I've included both my mailing address and my email address. And this week, actually, I kept hearing my friends telling me that they started to hear from the children who received the shoeboxes that they packed last year. But I keep checking my email and my mailbox and still have not heard even once. But that's okay. That's not the reason why I do it. So I will just continue to include notes and pictures when I pack my shoeboxes.
It probably gives you a little bit of a peace knowing how much it meant to you and being able to know how grateful they really are, even though you may not hear the words yourself.
Exactly. And they might want to write back, but they might not know the language or might not be able to afford a post stamp. So again, it's not the reason why I include a letter in my shoebox gifts. I just continue to trust the Lord that He makes the impact that He wants to make on those children who received my shoebox gifts.
So with all of the people that you work with directly or any other stories that you've heard, I would love to hear any of your favorite stories about Operation Christmas Child.
I think my favorite story is really just a memory when I first reconnected with the ministry before I came on as an intern and then full-time staff. I got invited to attend a Connect conference, and think of Connect conference as a big family reunion when year-round volunteers from all over the country get together for a time of celebration, a time of equipment, and time of preparation for the next OCC season. I had no idea that's what it was at that time. And I remember being invited to this conference. And when I stepped off the plane, the conference took place outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I remember stepping out of the plane and meeting close to 20 other former shoebox recipients. That was the first time I got to meet shoebox recipients besides my sister. And on the drive from the airport to the hotel, I got to hear stories from shoebox recipients, literally from all over the world. I was sitting next to a man from Rwanda who was a Rwandan genocide survivor, and how God used a shoebox gift to bring him hope when he thought there was no hope left. And then there was a girl sitting behind me from Honduras who survived, I think it was a hurricane that struck her country when she was little, and how God used a shoebox gift to bring hope to her family. And I think because that was the first time I got to see the impact that God was making through shoeboxes on lives, not only of my sister and I, but all these other shoebox recipients, it was so powerful. Because those testimonies are evidence of God's work through these shoebox gifts, not just in my part of the world, but literally in all parts of the world. And that conference, I remember we spent a lot of time just sharing our stories and crying together and celebrating God's faithfulness in all of my lives, in all of our lives. And to this day, that's one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite memories with Operation Christmas Child.
Had you realized that this had affected so many other children in so many other parts of the world?
I have not. And I think that was another reason why it's still etched in my memory so vividly, because I knew the impact the shoebox had on my life, but I had no idea the impact it had on other people's lives. And that's what was so powerful.
So one of the things that we really focus on in this podcast, and you've referenced it so many times already in this, and for those of you who just need the reminder that God is faithful and want even more stories, if you go back one more episode to the previous one where Yulia talks about her childhood and how the boxes affected her there, there are just so many great stories. So in this part, we talk about faithfulness and how God's faithfulness isn't just from the Old Testament, and it's not just from the Bible in general or the New Testament, but it affects us now. His promises endure and they keep going, and they will still continue after this. I love how the shoeboxes help remind us that he knows us and he knows our needs, and he puts these little almost poetic gifts in our life where he is intimate and understands us personally in these gifts. So being on this end of the Christmas boxes and seeing how it affects you on this side, how has God proven that his faithfulness is true and real and evident now?
In answering this question, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit and share the verse that I want to share with our listeners. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and it says, "He who has called you is faithful, and he will surely do it." There were so many times during my time with Operation Christmas Child that I doubted whether something is possible or whether we can pull off something, and every single time God has showed himself faithful. And last year is just a very clear and vivid example of that. You know, every year we start with zero shoeboxes. We always pray for a specific number, for a goal for us to meet, but every year we start with zero shoeboxes, and then we see God be faithful. And last year during the pandemic, where so many people were affected economically, in other different ways, health-wise, God brought about over 9.1 million shoebox gifts. And I never want to get caught up in numbers. 9.1 million is, of course, a lot. But when you start to think about every single one, every single digit of that number, you realize that's how many children will not only be blessed with a shoebox gift, but also will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And that's what blows my mind. That's what shows me over and over again God's faithfulness.
How early do you start praying for that number?
We pray year round. If there is anything, any decision before us, we pray for it. And that's one thing I love and appreciate about Operation Christmas Child and my leadership, is that we bring everything before the Lord.
So we're recording actually in May. This is going to come out in the fall in time for people to start thinking about packing their own boxes. But I just love hearing. So we're recording in May. What does it look like in May as you prepare for the busy season in the fall?
It depends on the role that one serves in. My team stays busy year round because we want to keep telling the stories, and also year round volunteers. This is the time that they begin to plan for the busy promotional season. We have different roles that volunteers can serve in. And even though we collect shoeboxes only during third week in November, to collect 9.1 million shoeboxes takes a year long effort from every single team member. So our volunteers are busy year-round preparing for the season that's to come. And then when that season passes, they begin to prepare for the next one to come.
So speaking of year-round faithfulness, the other part of faithfulness in the way that God has placed this picture of a bridge to me is that, first of all, God's faithfulness is never dependent on ours. He started, he loved us first, he was faithful to us first, and he will be faithful to us whether or not we return that to him. But in my picture, in my mind, is that God built that bridge, but it is also our responsibility to step onto that bridge, to show faithfulness, to show obedience, and all of that. And last time we talked about how you personally have worked to show faithfulness to God, and you can do that this time too. But how are some ways when it comes to Operation Christmas Child that we can show faithfulness to God?
Well, for me specifically, I remember when I was first asked to share my story, my immediate answer in my head was, no, I'm not going to get in front of all these people. I'm terrified of public speaking. And on top of that, I don't have a story. For the longest time, I kept comparing my story to other people's stories. And then after much prayer, the Lord has gently convicted me to share not my story, but His story upon my life. And there were many seasons of continual wrestling with Him, thinking that I should not be sharing my story, when I have finally surrendered that to the Lord and knew that I would be faithful to what the Lord has called me to if I share the story that He has given me. Not for my own sake, not even for the sake of getting over public speaking fear, but for the sake of glorifying the Lord and for the sake of one more child having the same opportunity that I had to hear about the love of God.
I love how, first of all, that's really relatable. So many of us compare our stories and think that it's not, you know, we didn't go through a deep enough trial, or our story is not as polished or has as pretty of an ending as someone else's or whatever. But God uses every story, and he writes every story, and He puts His heart into every story. So when we share those, it shows people that we're not alone, or that God is still working in times that it doesn't seem like it, and all of those different things. When we share our story and we share God's faithfulness, He does so much powerful things through it. So that's a good reminder right there to not be afraid of your story and don't be ashamed of your story. I think Satan wants us to be ashamed of our story because he doesn't want us to share. And so that's one way to be like, hey, take this. I'm going to talk about God's faithfulness. I've found personally that when I do it, when I don't feel like it, is when it's most powerful, because it kind of changes my heart as I'm telling the story.
I can certainly relate to that. Yes, the times when I have resisted sharing the most were the times that God has yielded the most impact.
And then you talked about not being a public speaker. First of all, you could have fooled me, because you're doing a really good job. And I'm sure you've had some practice, right?
You know, just a little. You should have heard me share my story the very first time back in 2012. Ooh, that was rough. I'm really glad that God didn't give up on me, and I'm really glad that He convicted me to keep sharing and to keep getting better, because again, I'm not doing it for my glory. I'm doing it for His glory.
And that shows that, you know, so many people listen to people like you, or even I wouldn't say I'm that amazing of a podcaster either, but I've had lots of experience and I did not start off well. So that little step of faithfulness onto the bridge, that's exactly what I'm talking about, where you take that one little baby step, that one thing where you say, God, I don't feel called, or, well, I definitely feel called, but I don't feel adequate for this, but I'm going to still step where you ask me to. And God always, one of my favorite quotes is, God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called.
Amen. That is exactly what I was thinking about when I was choosing the verse for 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
Exactly. So for those of you that you think you might have a story to share, or you want to trust God a little bit more with public speaking, or whatever it is that you feel called to, not everybody's called to be a public speaker, and that's okay if that's not you. But if there's something that God is calling you to do and you don't feel equipped for it, actually, usually when you make that first step is the very first step of God teaching you how to do it. A lot of times that's flubs. If you go back and listen to some of my very first episodes, you'll say, wow, what was she thinking? You know? But just knowing that when you make that faithfulness step to start going in the direction that you think God is calling you is when He starts making the biggest changes in your life. So thanks for sharing that. Before we get to talking a little bit more about that 1 Thessalonians 5:24, let's talk just a little bit about how people can get involved in volunteering. I would love for you to share about how they can get involved in boxes, but also how they can maybe be involved in that processing and be more hands on those boxes.
Absolutely. So when it comes to the packing part, anyone can participate, and you just find a shoebox gift or a plastic container that's that size, and then decide whether you want to pack for a boy or for a girl, and then the age. We have three ages, 2 to 4, 5 to 9, and 10 to 14. And then you go and have fun and fill that shoebox gift with toys, school supplies, hygiene items, but most importantly, pray. Pray for the child who would receive your shoebox. shoebox gift. As far as year-round volunteers, you have already heard me share that there are some roles. You can be, if God is calling you to serve on a year-round team, you can be involved in various roles depending on your gifts and depending on your capacity. And more information on that you can actually find on our website, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And then during the processing season, we have 8 processing centers around the country where you can come either as individual with your family or church or Bible study group, and then come and process shoeboxes and get them ready for overseas shipment. And that happens after National Collection Week is complete. So after all the shoeboxes are collected, they are brought to one of these 8 processing centers, and then volunteers at those processing centers prepare the shoeboxes for overseas shipment. And it's always lots of fun. You will not regret it if you sign up. But for more information on that, you can also go on our website, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
I have some really good friends that do that, and they loved it so much. It's become a yearly tradition. They take a couple of days off of work, and it just becomes their late fall vacation that they do together, and they love it. Also, one thing that I am also providing is if you find on my show notes, or if you go to my website, or if you go to my Facebook or Instagram, you can find a link. And Yulia, can you explain to them what this special link does?
Yes, for those who cannot or are unable to go shop for shoeboxes in person, but still would like to build a shoebox gift, good news for you, because you can build a shoebox gift online. And as Jenna said, just follow the link to her goal page, and then it will take you to the page where you can pack a shoebox gift virtually. It works very similarly. You still choose a boy or a girl, the age, and then you fill the shoebox gift virtually by choosing pre-selected items. And the reason they're pre-selected, because these shoebox gifts actually go to countries that are close to the gospel. So we have to be very careful about the items that we pack in them. But you can still personalize those shoebox gifts by including a note and a picture, if you wish. It's not mandatory. And then volunteers at a certain time during the year actually physically assemble those shoebox gifts based on what you have decided to pack in them. And then they get sent off just as other shoebox gifts, a regular shoebox gift, get sent off. It's a neat opportunity to still pack shoebox gifts without having to step outside your house.
I was saying this before, but we'll probably end up doing something similar this year because we are having twins in the fall, and I don't know if we can get 5 children out to the store to get that. But for those of you who do have small children that you want to be able to let them pick and do that, or if those of you who just aren't able to go out, and who knows what the world's going to look like in the fall at this point. So lots of different reasons that this is such a huge blessing, and I know it will bless people as well. And you were saying in the last episode, and I wanted to bring that in this time too, is that the hardest age to fill right now is the 10 to 14 age range, correct?
That is correct. The least number of shoeboxes we receive is for the age 10 to 14. So if you're thinking about packing a shoebox gift, I encourage you to pack for a 10 to 14 year old boy or a girl, or both.
What we do is each of our children picks the age and the gender that they are. And then my husband and I each do one for the teen, the 10 to 14, so that we can still be involved in all that stuff. That's what we do with our family. And we talked about this before, but I love this. I don't know when this started, but this was the first year we did it where you can actually find out where your box goes.
I am so glad you mentioned, yes, you can, so to say, track your shoebox gift and find out the destination or the country where your shoebox gift ends up. And to do that, we ask for the suggested $9 donation to be made online. And when you make it online, the system generates a barcode label that then volunteers at processing centers scan, and that registers in our system. And when shoeboxes are being shipped to a certain destination, or I guess after they have been shipped, you can look up via your email that is associated with the shoebox gift, with that barcode label, to which country or territory in the world your shoebox has gone to. And actually, last year was the first year we have introduced adhesive labels with a QR code. So it used to be that you could only do this online, but now if you can get some of these adhesive labels on our website, that's another way to get your shoebox gift tracked.
I highly recommend it. It was so much fun to be able to see where it was going and be able to look at what the weather was like at that time. What are they in the summer or the winter? And what we did is ours went to two different places. One, I feel like Myanmar was one of them. I don't know why. And South America, that might just be a random area that stuck in my head for some reason, but I don't feel like that would really, you know, Myanmar is not really something I think about too often. You know, so what we did is when we found out what country they went to, I went and looked. I love to cook. So this is not something all you moms have to do. You do not have to be this Pinterest mommy or whatever. But what I did is I found a meal or a treat that I could make. I live in rural Ohio, so we don't always have all of the ingredients for different things. But I made a meal. And then that night we talked about, here's what the culture is like. And this is a type of food that they would eat. And just talking about what we put in the box and how it was summer for where we sent the girls stuff. And so we thought this could be where they're wearing dresses and the dresses that we sent and different things like that. And it was just a really cool way to introduce our children to culture and to remind them that these are real people that these are going to. So real quick, before we close out, Yulia, I just wanted to say thank you for spent 2 hours with me today to do this. And I just love hearing the both sides of this, both you received it, and now we talk about what it's like to work for them and all of the different logistics that go from packing the box all the way to putting it in the hands of children. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story, for being available, and passion for these children and for the faithfulness of God. I really appreciate it.
It's a privilege, Jenna. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to look back at my life and to see God's faithfulness all over again.
So you chose 1 Thessalonians 5:24 to close out this episode. Why did you choose that one this time?
Well, the verse says, "He who has called you is faithful, and he will surely do it." And it's amazing because the thoughts I wanted to share about this verse are already some of the thoughts that you have shared. Early in the podcast, you said, God equips the called. And that is exactly the thought that came to my mind, because a lot of times it may feel as God is asking us to do the impossible or something that's unrealistic. But the truth is, as long as we're being obedient, He does the rest. He equips us, He makes a way, and He sees it through until the end. And I feel 1 Thessalonians 5:24 is the theme of God's faithfulness with Operation Christmas Child. I mentioned earlier that every year we start with zero shoeboxes, and then we see what God does and the number of shoeboxes He brings about at the end of the OCC season. And I just love it. I love seeing God's faithfulness on display through Operation Christmas Child. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who has called you is faithful, and he will surely do it.
This has been episode 62 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled Operation Christmas Child, the story of a box, with Yulia Shubina. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/62. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.